Jesus said to his disciples, "The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If, therefore, you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." Good morning. Peace be with you. Thank you. Last night, we had the privilege to welcome and host the 1959 high school class from St. Peter's in McKeesport. There were 27 of them here out of 56, and 15 have passed on. So it was really nice to have them together here at church. And they came over on a bus. And one woman said to me, "You know, the bus was too small." I said, "Well," I said, "maybe you guys just got bigger." And you know what she said? "We didn't ride a bus." Right? When we went to school, what did they do? They walked uphill both ways. Yeah, exactly. No, I told them, I said, "You know, just think, if I was born in McKeesport 20 years earlier, I would have been in their class." But having them here, it reminded me how important our Catholic schools are. What the education that we receive, what the sisters taught us, what the teachers teach us. And it's this. It fits right into the readings we hear today. That we are called to live in the world, but not of the world. And that's why Catholic schools are such an important part of the mission of the church, the mission of the diocese, is there's an image of us who are living in the world, but yet separate from it, remaining focused on the mission of Christ. And that's what St. Paul is telling Timothy in the second reading today. He's telling everybody there, listen, we're church. And we need to pray for everyone. And we certainly want to pray so that we can recognize that we are the image in the world of what is good. Christ himself. I remember in school, one of the things that the sisters taught us was that holiness is what you do when no one is looking. And isn't that what Jesus is addressing in the gospel? He says, if you tend to the little things well, then you will tend to the larger things. The smaller things when no one's really paying attention, the things that seem to be less important. And what Jesus is speaking of are those who are most need of his mercy. Those who are the poor. We hear Amos telling those who are waiting for the Sabbath to be over so they can begin to cheat people again. He says, you who trample on the poor. If you trample on the poor, then how's anybody going to ever trust you with greater matters? I know the sisters also taught us that when we would see somebody that was less fortunate than us, whether it's physically, spiritually, or even mentally, they would tell us, remember, without the grace of God, there goes I. What do they mean? Without the grace of God, without God's grace blessing us and holding us to the gifts that we have, we too could be in a situation of despair. And not just looking at people's worldly needs, but how does it radiate to their spiritual needs? Because the world's always telling us what is important. And when we fail to remember our mission, then we can easily be lost. So one of the greatest works of the church is our prayer. And that's why we gather each and every week. That's why we come into this sacred space, to separate ourselves from the world. We participate in it. We gain from it. We prosper in it. Nothing wrong with that. But to never forget that we do not belong to it. The greatest blessings, the holiness doesn't come from those things. It comes from what we take here into the week for the people of the world today. And that's why when at Mass, in a few moments, we're going to hear the general intercessions, or what we call the universal prayer, or the petitions. It's how Paul taught Timothy to pray for the people of the church. And we do that most perfectly in the Good Friday liturgy. On the very day that you and I come and we read the Passion of Christ, we venerate the cross, we remember the sacrifice it took for Jesus to develop within us something greater than this world, to give us his church. And we pray 10 petitions. And those 10 petitions show us how important it is for our call to gather everyone into the body of Christ. Here are the 10. They're quite simple. First, we pray on Good Friday for the holy people of God. That's you. The holy people of God. Those who come together week after week, recognizing that you make up the body of Christ. We pray that you may persevere and sustain that faith in the world that you live. Secondly, then, only after the holy people of God, we pray for our Holy Father. Then the third prayer, we pray for our bishops, priests, and deacons. And then we pray for those who are called the catechumens. You know what they are? They're the ones now who want to come and share in what we have. Those are the ones who want to become Catholic. They're the ones who want to receive that fullness of God's grace. And then we pray for the Jewish people. Why? Because it is from the Jewish tradition, from the Old Testament, that we awaited for this promise of Christ to be fulfilled. Then we pray for all Christians. We pray for the unity of all Christians in Christ. And then we pray for those who do not believe in Christ. Because Paul said it is only through Christ that we can be saved and know the fullness of God's love for us. And then we pray for those who do not believe in God, for those who need to come to see the witness of Christ present in our midst. And then our ninth prayer is a very important prayer, because Paul speaks of it in this reading today, and that is to pray for everyone in public office. Do you hear what Paul said to Timothy? He said, pray for the leaders and the kings, those who are in charge of the world, so that we can have what? That we can live in tranquility, in devotion, and dedication. Because if our public office, if we pray for those who will allow us to live in the truth, then that's true peace. That the gospel message isn't lost, that it is upheld. Because not because it's Christ's, but truth is truth. And then finally, our last prayer. Imagine this, our last prayer is for the things of the world. For illness, suffering, for the poor, for our brokenness. See, because we can't properly pray for those things unless we understand that they are least important, then using those needs to feed our love of Christ, to be the body of Christ, to be the holy people of God. So what should be our mission this week? I think it should be to try to become saints, as always, to take our ordinary lives and make them extraordinary by remembering that we live in the world but not of the world. We do not just simply gain the things of life without losing focus of eternal life. If you pray every day those 10 prayers in that order, you will come to see the importance of what it means to be who we are who gather here. And it will also give you vision in all those times of tranquil, peace, and love. So when you come forward to receive our Lord Jesus in the Holy Eucharist today, ask for that gift of faith, the gift of faith that allows you to present yourself to the world as a member of Christ's body. Ask for the gift of hope, a hope that you can bring others, those who are seeking more, those who want to be united in Christ, and even those that do not believe in God. and pray for the gift of love. Because remember, without the grace of God, there goes I and you. Ask God to help you love this week your neighbor more than last. And I promise I will do the same. How important it is, though, to remember what it means to pray as church. You know, to continue to remember that we pray for ourselves, for our leaders, for those who want to be a part of us, for those who are separate from us, and for our public servants as well. So people often ask me, Father, you know, is it okay to pray for the pirates? And I say, absolutely, we always pray for the dead. Yeah. And someone asked me, is it okay to pray for the Steelers? And I said, we always pray for miracles. So let us pray.